everybody. Welcome to Bad End Podcast, episode 11, a podcast about video games. And sometimes we talk about reality TV shows. Sometimes we talk about games journalism. Sometimes we talk about not video games, but mostly this podcast is about video games. And we're glad that you're here with us today. My name is Kyle Cookstow. I am a game developer and programmer.
And I am Katie McCarthy. I am a games writer, or I write about games for usgamer.net, and I used freelance, so you know.
And I'm Josh Calixto. I am also a games writer, currently writing for mostly Kotaku, although I also have contributed to Rolling Stone, Killscreen, among others.
I want to start this out and say that I just spent this past weekend just playing some nerd shit. I just went really, really, really hard for Labor Day weekend.
Okay, what makes this nerd shit?
So because... there's a tier of video games that like the people like. You've got like Uncharted. You've got the stuff that like looks good in a banner on the front of a GameStop window. Like the games that your mom sees and she's like, my son and my daughter or my non-gender conforming child will love this game. Then there's the other shit that you hear about from like forums that like don't have a UI yet, that you just play and you like go through all the crazy fucking hoops to get the shit set up, or you hear about it from like some other gaming blog or something. And it's something that people don't talk about, but you play it and it's really fun because it's often very interesting.
And what made you decide to go on this odyssey?
So my fiance is out of town. And I decided I would play video games all weekend.
as most of Kyle's I did something this weekend stories start.
No, we play video games together though. We played Breath of the Wild, we played Yonder, we've played Dark Souls, we play stuff together. But usually if I'm doing these like crazy sideways jaunts into like different video games, then I like putting a lot of hours into it. And it's not something that's like fun.
No offense intended there, Kyle. Sorry about that, buddy.
So I got a list of like just weird stuff. It's like unconventional multiplayer games. And there's stuff that you wouldn't think of when you think about multiplayer. So
were these like games that you were playing by yourself, or were they like multiplayer type games? Because I've had like some LAN parties before where people would be like, yo, we gotta play this thing where you have to like, you know, some mod and it takes everyone 3 hours to get it running on their machine.
Yeah, all this shit. Yeah, 100%.
And the game ends up being like, it's pretty fun, but like, it's just like an idea that you haven't really seen before, which is cool in its own right, but maybe is not the best actual game in execution because it is like a mod.
But I think what the nice part is that you get to spend time with these, like, often these games have very niche communities that have developed and like they have their own meme culture and they have dedicated people that play them like every day. So it's fun to kind of do this like broad cross section where it's like you're not playing Rocket League and you're not playing Overwatch and you're not playing whatever the hot multiplayer game is. You're not playing like PUBG. You're playing this other stuff that just kind of like has always existed and it exists. It will continue to exist and probably never get really big. But at the same time, it's super fun to play. So I did a jaunt into this kind of stuff.
All right, so what'd you play?
All right, Give us the scoop. I'm going to start up with one that I actually have on my list that I forgot to write down. Or it's not on my list, I forgot to write down, which is, are you familiar with the game Mountain Blade Warband?
I've heard of it.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's a great game.
Great game. Mountain Blade Bannerlord is coming out soon too. But there's a mod for Mountain Blade Warband called Napoleonic Wars, where you basically play as colonial powers and shoot each other with muskets and ride horses. And it's janky as fuck because it's a mod for Mountain Blade, but it's...
Which is already pretty janky to begin with.
Which is super janky to begin with. And this mod kind of takes it to the next level. And let me just tell you some things about this mod. So like when you shoot a gun, you have to shoot a gun and then you have to reload, and the reload takes about 10 or 15 seconds because your character has to go through all the animations of using the like the rod to shove like the ammo back
ram
down
rod,
the gun.
Yeah.
And then everything is slower. So normally in Mountain Blade you shoot or like swipe pretty fast. Instead of this, it's like you have to line up your shot. It takes like 6 seconds to dial in, and then it's kind of like a crapshoot whether or not you're going to hit these people. But it's like amazing. It uses opens like free licensed music, so it's like Ode to Joy. It's like the national anthem. It's just, it's like a lot of like very patriotic classical music songs. And you can also, so you're like doing this and like you're in all the proper uniforms and you're fighting on like, you know, historical battlefields. And then you can have people that take roles of like trumpeteers or like have like drums, and they can just like play drums in the background. So like, and everybody's like shooting guns in front of them and they can just like play their trumpet. And it's, I don't know. It's a good
time.
Wait,
you can be like a trumpeteer?
You can be a trumpeteer. You have no weapon. Yeah. You just have an instrument just playing your trumpet.
That's dope.
Can
you get shot if you're a musician?
Yeah, you should definitely. Yeah,
can you shoot people with music notes, though? Like, can, like...
No. Non-combat role. You're not in combat. You're just playing a drum. You're delivering morale to the people. I think there might actually be, like, a bonus.
How many people were in these games?
It might actually be, like, a passive bonus, but I'm not sure. But it's also fun just to like march into the battle like with your uniform on, like playing drums and a trumpet.
I can imagine there being like three people in a game, and then there's one team that's like a dude with a musket and then like his hype man with a single drum.
Yeah, it's definitely like that. There's like people in the background. I remember there was this one map I played. Like people talk. I think I've lamented before about like multiplayer size numbers, but people are like excited when there's like 20v20. On like a console game, whereas like multiplayer and PC games has always been just outrageously large. So there's some servers that do like 64, and maybe I want to say there's one that does like 120 players, but I've played on one of these servers before, and because people die and respawn, you'll be like standing at the top of a castle like trying to like shoot somebody down. It's just one person in the field, and all of a sudden like over the hill you see like 40 people. Like, ooh. There's like a flag bearer like running across this hill like towards your battle, and you're like, and you fight, and then you die
really
and respawn.
Cool,
it sounds really epic, but also
it's janky as hell. Like half the fun
yeah,
is just
in execution,
like...
you have to remember that in execution, it looks like half as cool.
Oh
as
yeah,
it sounds,
it's so
really.
It's so not as cool as it sounds. It's just like a good time to have with your friends because it's like limited lives. The guns are crappy. It's Mountain Blade, so it's just like it's Mountain Blade style stuff. But it's just like a good time to like load up and play. So. That was one of the games that I played that was, like, next level nerd.
I feel like with these games, the journey is, like, half the fun, you know, getting it up and running.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you finally, you're in, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is what it's all about, baby. I used to love, like, going to cafes, like, internet cafes, and playing, like, Counter-Strike. Back in the day, I used to do that a lot, but did you guys ever do that?
Internet cafes were never a thing in South Georgia, unfortunately.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh,
not in my town either. Like, they're...
Dude, during high school, we would just go, and it's just, like, the craziest experience, because, like, they wouldn't even give you headphones at the ones that we would go to. Like, you'd go, and it smells like smoke. It's, like, packed with computers, and all the computers have speakers just right there. So all you hear across the entire internet cafe is just... Headshot, ultra kill, violence, and like it's just the craziest experience of all time. But we would just like we'd play like some Dust, which is like the go-to Counter-Strike map. But then we would play Ice World. You ever play Ice World?
I don't know Ice World.
Oh my god, it's just like it's like a circle with like a cross in the middle. So it's like, yeah, it's just like a circle with like. Two lines running through it that is like ice, so once you die you just immediately respawn, so you're just like shooting constantly through the entire match, and like you just never stop, so it's just like constant respawning shooting for like an hour straight in like this tiny little thing. Like there's no objective, it's just pure death orgy. And
part of my jaunt this weekend was playing like 10 minutes of Counter-Strike, and I definitely jumped into a gun game match, and it was just like the map was it was like no bigger than like 50 by 50 yards, and it was just you would just spawn, shoot somebody, upgrade your gun twice, die, listen to like whatever EDM shit the server was playing, and then like just over and over and over and over and over and over, and then just spawn and then just do it again. And like when you want that like that CSGO fix, man, It's really good.
Gun game is that shit.
It's so good.
Every game should have a gun game.
Yeah, I wish Overwatch had a gun game. What if Overwatch had a gun game and you like switch between heroes? That
would be the best.
That would be amazing.
That would be the best.
It's like you start out with like...
We should pitch this to Blizzard.
Yeah. Blizzard, listen. Blizzard. Listen, Jeff. All right? Gun game and Overwatch would be incredible. I'm trying to think of anything else that's good. I played Total War Warhammer Online, which is like kind of a like, it's a more produced thing, but it was basically like Total War multiplayer, and that was fine. That was fun. But the other thing that I did that I'm really excited to talk about was recently there was this mod that came out for The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind to make the game be online. So there's The Elder Scrolls Online, which is like the new game that came out 2 or 3 years ago that like puts The Elder Scrolls on. Oh, it's like its own online game. It's a different thing. But this mod lets you play Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind, from here on just Morrowind, play Morrowind online with your friends. And so that was a game that definitely took like an hour and a half to set up because my friend had to like host a server. We had to like go to like the forums, like the GitHub page, and like make sure all of our config shit was right. But once it was running, dude, it was like me and three other people just in like Morrowind playing the game together. It was like just straight up Morrowind co-op, which was like super, super, super dope. And obviously Morrowind is like hella janky as well. So that was definitely some of the appeal. But it was dope to just like run around Balmora with my friends and like go into the shops and like buy stuff and then go do quests and turn them in.
Yeah.
It also seems like extremely not made to support that.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying in like the forum or like the release of it. Rock Paper Shotgun covered it like a month ago, I think. But the big kind of innovation is the fact that most of the games that try to do online play try to get really complicated and make it so that every single player in the server has an individual quest log. So like if you kill somebody in my game, I don't see that they're killed, but that like doesn't scale very well and it's easy to break. So what Morrowind Online does is that every single person in the server shares a quest log. So if someone does a quest somewhere, you like get the update in your journal. And also like Morrowind is old school as fuck. If you forgot, there's like no hints on, there's like no waypoints. There's no markers on the map. Like your quest log is literally a journal that you look at and have to read pages of. And it's kind of hyperlinked like a web page, but it's like, You gotta read in this game, and it's like not light. Like Morrowind is known to have like deep lore, kind of crazy convoluted plot, and you gotta like read that shit to get stuff done. So that was fun to like run around, do a quest. Someone like reads the thing, figures out what you have to do, go do that. Steal people blind, rob people blind, put on fancy clothing, get cool spells. I don't know. I think it was like a super good time, and I'm interested to see if stuff starts happening with that. And last time we played, there was a 64-player server that had like 15 or 20 people in it. So I definitely see there's definitely interest, and I'm interested to see if people start like doing interesting game modes and like a mod scene starts to develop around this like open world RPG thing, because they already have modes where you can like spawn in random shit or whatever. So I'm excited to see where that goes, and I'll probably be playing Morrowind Online into the future as well.
Ooh. That sounds really neat, because I think like the problem with Elder Scrolls Online is it's just like an MMO. It's like kind of like it doesn't have the same type of quest structure in it. So I can definitely see the appeal of like more like just it's just straight up Morrowind and you're just in there with friends.
It's literally just co-op Morrowind, and we didn't really run into any like big bugs, and like most of the bugs that could be introduced from like multiple people playing a single player game are mitigated by the fact that as like players you just all share the same stuff. So except for like when you get something in your inventory, only one player gets it, so it's not like all players get all the things. So it kind of it helps like that, which is really cool. So I mean, it's like it's obviously more Elder Scrolls than Elder Scrolls Online is, because Elder Scrolls Online is, like you said, it's an MMO, and this is like, it is Morrowind the game online. So I'm excited to see this continue to grow and
I'm interested to see if like, I don't know, does like Skyrim have anything like that, or even Oblivion, like No.
I think they tried a few times, but I think it's the same. It's always the same issue where they don't know how to do quest sync. So yeah. It's also possible that now that they kind of figured out a solution for this, that the other efforts to do online stuff. But another like part of this, just as one last thing, is the fact this is enabled by the fact that some people basically got together and built an open source version of Morrowind that you can run as long as you have bought Morrowind, because it needs Morrowind's assets. So it's this thing called OpenMW, which is based, like I said, it's an open source version of the Morrowind engine that uses the assets that you get from actually buying the game. So Elder Scrolls Morrowind Online is basically the open source Morrowind version that is being run using like bought Morrowind assets. So it could be harder for Skyrim or Oblivion because it would kind of rely on a similar infrastructure. And as far as I know, nobody's working on like an open source version of those games' engines, and they would have to like just do a super, super, super elaborate mod for the main game.
Yeah.
I feel like what I like about these types of games where you have to kind of, you know, do some digging and, you know, figuring out files and figuring out mods and stuff like that, is that like you kind of feel like once you're in and once you realize that there's like a community there, it feels like one of the few types of spaces in video games where you can kind of like find a niche group of people, which is always something that's like just really nice to feel like have. Did you feel that at all when you were playing these games?
Definitely Napwar, Napoleonic Wars especially, because people are Napwar.
I want that game.
There's this one pretty popular YouTuber, his name is Dyslexy. He does Arma videos mainly, but he also did a lot of Napwar videos, which is I think how I found it initially, through a friend who watched Dyslexy's videos, and people came to it from that. And people have like, esports is the wrong word, but it's the best analogy for this, where people will form like regiments and like fight against each other and organize like Napoleonic Wars matches. And some of Dyslexy's videos are him basically leading a regiment of people who are all like properly crouching in the front line and like shooting the rifles at the same time. And it's super entertaining to watch, but it feels like, because it's this like, it's a space that has this bar in front of it, which obviously only lets a certain type of person through. So there is kind of that like bias implicit to these spaces. But once you are in, it does feel like these spaces that have allowed to like exist and kind of exist outside of whatever like the zeitgeist is at the time. Like even if PUBG happens, people are still playing Napwar and like don't care about what's going on there. In Morrowind Online, I was reading like the Reddit, and it seems like there's a community starting to grow. But right now there's no like master server. It's all self-hosted, so it's more fragmented, but I definitely suspect as it gets bigger that people will start hosting bigger servers and a community could form around that. But I think there's definitely like this, there's another game that I won't talk about called Foxhole that I played, which is like a massive multiplayer, kind of like top-down Diablo-esque, like a World War II game. And that game is much bigger than these games, and it does have like a pretty big community, like with its own memes and stuff. So playing that game definitely feels like people are kind of in and experiencing this new space and like sussing out like what makes sense to be, like how do you be in this world, what's proper etiquette. So it's cool to play this stuff, and like, and then with the case of Napwar, like check in on something that's been around for a while and see kind of how that's going. And you know, people are still mad, people still cuss at each other, people still advertise their guild or their clan or their regiment, but yeah, it's fun. It's super cool to play this like stuff that has these smaller communities.
Oh yeah, I guess I'll talk about what I've been playing. I played Absolver, which is a new melee action online game from these developers called Slow Clap, and I think they're like ex-Ubisoft developers. And I like it, but it feel like through playing it, I feel like it's very bland in a way. Like even though it has like, it's so, basically to set it up, it's like an online game, but it's not online in the ways you'd expect of anything. It's like more similar to like Journey, where like just players kind of drift into your game just naturally, and like you can squad up with people too and like invite them to your game, but like I feel like it's more fun just to like meet people in this environment. And there's like this unpredictability too. It's like they could want to fight you, or they'll want to pair up with you and be your friend, and like there's like this kind of like randomness to it where you don't know like how anything's going to shake out. So it's like you get these like really interesting encounters where it's like, oh, this player's chasing me and they won't like let up until I fight them. And then on the other end, there's people that like I saw someone like in danger because they're fighting someone, so I like ran over and helped them out, and then we teamed up and it was like, you know, it felt like cool. I was like, okay, cool, I saved this person, now we're friends, blah blah blah. And I don't know, like it's interesting, but it's kind of short. It's like maybe like the story short, it's like 5 hours or so. And I don't know, like after I finished it, like there's like much more opens up, like you can start your own school, there's like other like multiplayer modes, but it's not like, I just kind of like when I was done with it, I was like, I don't think I'm ever gonna touch this game again. Like I think I'm honestly just kind of done with it. And I think it's partly because the world itself is so boring, and because like there's like loot and stuff you can find across the world, but it's so like minimal and it doesn't really ever feel like worthwhile. Like I'm not ever like, oh hell yeah, I found this like cool like shoulder pads or whatever. It's just like, oh, this is weaker than what I already have. So it's like a lot of that. So it's like a bummer, even though like I really love the fighting system where it's like this, there's like four stances and like you fight from each stance and you could like build your own combat deck, and there's like all this like layers of like depth, but like it's just kind of like everything else around the game is so whatever to me. Like it's feels like personalityless in a way, and it's like it's really sad because I love that fighting system so much. It's just nothing else is like keeping me in that world.
Yeah, I mean so I played Absolver a lot during the beta, and I played a bit of it since it's been released, and I feel like I agree with you somewhat, but I also think that like the open world thing is super cool, but I definitely hear you that it's like kind of empty, but it also feels like it's a way to like get players to understand and like engage with the combat, to like an end of, I think they're adding in 1v1 and like 3v3 or something, where it feels like the game wants you to do this open world thing to kind of like learn the styles and then kind of hone, with the end goal, not of like beating the story or whatever, but fighting other players. And I love the way that game feels. And I think that the world is like, yeah, it's empty and like, it's fine to explore, but just kind of like, it seems targeted towards people that just like love that kind of core loop and how like the game just feels to play, because it is like, it's like no other fighting game that I've ever played before. And I love the feel of it, and I love playing that game. And I could definitely see a community growing up around it, but not of people like running around the open world. I think there'll be a strong community of like 1v1, 3v3 kind of stuff.
Yeah, I wonder, because the servers have been really wonky since launch too. So that's like been a problem.
Oh, yeah,
is like,
I saw that.
People can't even connect to the server. So it's like they're not getting the best part of the game, which is like fighting other players. It's just like NPCs, is like, it's a bummer. Because it was fine like pre-launch because it was like a small group of people playing technically. But once like after launch I was playing it, I was like, wow, these servers are like really not working. Like I kept getting dropped, like connectivity, like I would invite people to join me and then they would just be dropped immediately. It was a mess. And they're still working on fixing it, so at least they're like cognizant of it and are making efforts to make that better, you know? But it's still a bummer because that's easily my favorite part of the game, is like how unpredictable and cool the player encounters are and how it's like super anonymous and you like forge bonds and stuff, and like it feels really neat. And like a game I haven't experienced since Journey, but I don't know, I feel like I went away from it wishing I liked it more, in a way. Like, there's so much I really loved about it, and then it was just so much I was just like, eh. And that's a disappointment. I don't know, like, I feel like it's a thing that I'll maybe check out later on down the line when it has more of a community, and they said they're going to be supporting it and adding more stuff post-launch, so it's like, maybe this is a thing in, like, a few months it'll be, like, an amazing fucking thing, but, like, right now it's just, like, I'd say it's worth playing if you're really into like cool combat systems, because that does have like really interesting melee combat and in a way I've never experienced before. And yeah, it's cool. It's just, you know, cool with reservations, I guess.
I mean, I will say that like one of the coolest parts of Absolver that I think is worth checking out as well is the fact that, I mean, I can't speak as much as you have because I haven't beat the game for release, but the fact that the community is like, it seems pretty collaborative. Where instead of, it's not like, it's not PvP in the sense where everybody just runs around trying to kill everybody. There's like mechanics in the game that explicitly favor like this like mentor-mentee relationship as well as like collaboration. Like when you fight somebody, right after you down them, you can help them back up and they get like full health and you can fight again. So it's kind of a cool thing where it feels like some people are obviously like assholes and just run around and try to kill people, but it is also nice to like find somebody that's like fun to fight with and kind of like feel their unique style, which is facilitated by, like Katie was saying, like all these kind of, I don't know how many actual combinations of moves there are, but they're all sort of different stuff, and kind of like really like learn from them how to play the game. So that experience is super cool because I feel like I've never honestly played a game that feels like you're figuring it out together with somebody in this way. I think Journey is actually a pretty close example, but that was still like, there was a very tangible goal that people were moving towards versus Absolver. It's like you're fighting this person to just get better at playing Absolver. I think that games that are of a similar competitive spectrum are often just like, there's zero sum where it's like you win or you lose, you go out of the match, you find another match and you play again. So this kind of like this loop of like training and fighting with somebody is super appealing. And like, and it feels like honestly very different and new. But like you're saying, if the world is not enticing, it's hard to bring people in the first place to like stay and appreciate that. So it's, you know, both and.
Yeah. I've also started Destiny 2, the big game of 2017. Would you guys say it's like the biggest game of the year or like biggest game of the fall, probably more so?
Is it?
I don't know. I feel like it's pretty big. I'm seeing ads for it fucking everywhere in San Francisco, so maybe that's skewing my vision of it. I'm just like, I just see it everywhere. It's so big.
Zelda was pretty big.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, Zelda. Yeah, I guess Zelda. Yeah.
I think, isn't Mario Odyssey's coming out?
I mean, this year? I feel like there's Mario games come out with some frequency, you know? Like, at like a little bit of a frequency. Whereas I feel like Zelda's like very infrequent, so that was like obviously momentous. That's probably the biggest game of the year, honestly.
And it launched the Switch and stuff
Yeah, okay.
But don't Destiny expansions also come out with a frequency?
That's true, but this isn't like, they're not like a sequel, you know? No one cared about Taken King. People care about Destiny 2 because they're like, oh, they're going to get it right this time. It's the same. Spoiler, it's the same exact game. It's literally the first Destiny. It's just like a little shinier.
Can you talk about Destiny fans for a second? Because you wrote a whole article on this for your website.
Yes. So there's
the Destiny community just seems weird. There's stuff going on there.
There's a lot. I mean, it's like one of those communities that's like so big that there's just like a lot of mini communities. There's a lot of people not happy with Destiny 2 because it's like none of your stuff from Destiny 1 carries over. So none of your loot, the only thing carries over is you can bring your character over, but it's not, no, their levels aren't there. It's basically just their face, like their look and their class, technically. But nothing else carries over to the new game. So that's like frustrating for players who have spent like 500 hours or thousands of hours or whatever. Like, it's like all their hard work in a way is just kind of like cast aside. Like, it's nothing. But also there's like players who played like the Destiny 2 beta and they're like, oh, they like ruined movement. It's like not as fluid anymore. And they like destroyed the Hunter class. And there's like all this like hate for that stuff too. So there's like, I feel like there's a lot of core fans that are like super stoked for it, like as they would be for a sequel. But there's also like a pretty decent chunk of fans I've seen like talking online about how they're like not happy with the sequel because they're like changing all these things about it. And it's really interesting because I feel like Bungie's kind of trying to like grasp at this wider audience and like bring people who bounced off the first Destiny like back in, but at the cost of alienating the people that actually stuck with the first Destiny for like thousands of hours or whatever. So it's like really weird complicated. Thing,
I played a lot of the first Destiny, like I did raids and stuff like that. And the weird thing about Destiny's audience that's always struck me is that it's an MMO. It's like an audience with like MMO desires and like an appetite that an MMO crowd would have for what essentially amounts to a first person shooter it's basically just a first person shooter with online capabilities. Yeah. Honestly, like that you just grind over and over and like there's just more guns than average. It's like
Borderlands-esque, right?
But yeah, like it's like Borderlands online, basically. which is like far from an MMO. Like, I can see why people who went into Destiny and were like had all these huge you know, pie in the sky aspirations as to what it was, because that is how Bungie initially built it. They were like, this is going to be the most incredible game. There's going to be apps. There's going to be like this deep lore, and the game's going to live alongside you. Like, it's going to...
there'll be an app.
You know, yeah, it's going to be your son's graduation and all this shit.
Destiny's going to watch you die at your bedside.
Yeah, exactly. Destiny, like, that's the kind of shit that...
crying.
Exactly. And like, the audience actually was expecting that. So I've heard a lot of people that have played a lot of Destiny that are like, you know, we were promised a lot with Destiny 1, so like, I'm gonna have to see, like, it's like they've been wronged or something by this fucking video game that doesn't have a subscription price. Like, you buy a couple fucking expansions. It's a $60 game with the raids in it that you're buying. Like, chill the fuck out for a second, homie. Like, it, regardless of whether it acts like an MMO the way that you want it to, you're not buying an MMO. Like, you're buying a freaking shooter. Like, and just look at it and acknowledge that that's what's happening. Like, people just need to just take a step back and realize that Destiny is not an MMO, you guys. Okay, just fucking get it through your head.
I always drift to the phrase like shared world shooter, because I feel like that's really what it is. Like, it's a first-person shooter, but there's other players running around, but they won't really, you won't interact with them that much unless you're in a team already. It's really weird. Like, I've been playing a lot of Destiny 2 since it launched last night, and coming off of, like, Absolver's, like, the last game, the game I played most recently extensively, and, like, the difference in player dynamics, like, between other players, like, it's so different. There's no, like, obviously there's no PvP, like, in the main areas, that's, like, designed so it's, like, PvP modes, but, like, if you see another player, you can, like, help them out in a battle, but, like, usually they just run away after, you know? There's no, like, bonds formed. They just kind of, you shoot at aliens together, and then you guys run off and do your own thing. Whereas I feel like in Absolver, you're more, like, it feels like you're connecting with another, like, a complete stranger in this weird way, in this, like, weird environment. Whereas in Destiny, it's like, I guess we'll just shoot aliens together for this random public event, and then we're just gonna go our separate ways. And, like, there have been times where I, like, try to emote, like, a thank you, like, I'll do, like, a bow, and they just, like, don't even see it because they run away. I'm like, I'm just trying to be nice. Like, I don't know, like, thank you for helping me in this time of need, but, you know, it's like, they always want to loot. Like, they're not really trying to help me. So it feels kind of, like, selfish in a weird way. Like, it doesn't feel like there's, like, a community. At least what I've played so far, like, maybe it's just people are getting a hang of it, but I feel like I felt this way about Destiny 1 also. It's really strange.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, maybe that's I'm coming off of, and even like Overwatch, which is like all about teamwork, like maybe I like a less selfish multiplayer shooter in a way. Like, I like working with others. I think that's fun. I'm excited to like squad up with like actual friends of mine in Destiny 2, because everyone I know is getting it. But yeah, in the meantime, it's just like, oh, it's kind of weird. Like, why don't... okay, I guess no one's just nice in this game or whatever.
You get there a little bit once you start doing, like, raids and shit. Because, like, yeah, you can't really get through those without...
teamwork, yeah.
You know, talking to each other.
It does definitely seem like a game for buds, where it's like, what are we doing tonight? You're like, well, let's
crack open some beers.
Like, yeah, crack open a beer, spend, like, 2 hours, like, shooting aliens, and then, like, go to sleep feeling good about yourself. Versus like this like kind of strong kind of thing that you're talking about, because I do think I played a little bit of the beta when it was up, I guess last week for PC.
Oh yeah.
And I had this exact same experience where I was like trying to look at shit, because I mean the game is beautiful, and then there's obviously one player that had like done it 40 more times than I had and was just running forward killing everything, and I was like, oh, okay, like that's fine.
Bye.
That's kind of how like every MMO works. Like when I was playing Final Fantasy 14, you'd go into an instance that it just pairs you with people automatically, and there's like an automatic dungeon finder thing, and then you go in and there's like a cutscene. But if you watch the cutscene, like everyone will be in like the third room by the time you start, and there's like
what are you doing, scrub waiting around?
Exactly. And like there was even the situation where before the last boss in the instance, it shows a cutscene to like hype up the boss and all this stuff, and by the time that I finished the cutscene, it had closed off the section where you fight. So like they were just like 4v5ing this freaking boss without me, and they defeated it, and I still got loot for it.
Oh, okay.
Even though I didn't play exactly no role, I was just standing outside just listening to them destroy a boss. I was just like, what the fuck?
Hope they're having fun.
Why am I doing this? Why am I here?
That's really good.
Yeah. Classic MMO.
MMOs, man. It's such like, I remember, it's, I had a similar experience in my days of playing a lot of MapleStory, where you would do these, they're called PQs, like party quests, which are kind of like raids, but not really. They're just like, they're instance dungeons that have specific puzzles that vary slightly. So you do like, there's one in this place called, I think it's called Kerning, and it was like the thief town, and you would like go to the PQ there, and it was like there's a box stacking puzzle, and there's like a jumping puzzle, and there's all this other stuff, and like it was this thing where if you didn't know how to like do it like exactly, like everybody in the fucking party like emoted the like what are you doing face and would start like shit talking you to like not, because like you didn't do it like just right. And I think it's like when you have grindy stuff, it like encourages that sort of behavior where it's like, I'm trying to get my experience, you're taking too long, why are you in my party, get out.
right
but I'm down,
which
to
is wrong,
chill some beers,
gamers.
Play some Destiny with my buds.
Are you, so you're getting on PC probably?
Yeah
PS4.
Most people I know are getting on PC. I think that's also why this one seems big, is because Destiny 1 was not on PC, and
yeah
there's like
true.
A pretty strong audience I
no,
think there
that
will latch on to it.
Yeah, most people I know that are getting on PC are also doing both. Like they're going in now on PS4 and
oh,
they're just
shit.
Gonna switch
does
to
it
PC.
Transfer
no so they're just gonna start now.
Whoa, that is intense.
So whatever. I guess I don't, that's not me. I'm probably not gonna play on PC because I imagine I'll be burned out by that time, or until the next expansion. So
in a month,
I mean, I don't see, I honestly see myself dropping off of it within a month. Depending on how many people I know keep playing it, that's always what it depends on. Because that was my problem. The first Destiny is like, I only had one person to play with, and then I fell off on other games, and they got like really good. So I was like, well, I can't really play with you anymore because you're
an
expert. I'm not a pro Destiny player by any means. But yeah, it's just Destiny again. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing. The story is pretty boring. But also, I'm pretty early in. I've heard it's like a 15-hour campaign, which is kind of, that's pretty big. Compared to the last game, which is like 5 hours. It's weird. I haven't run any strikes or anything yet. And public events seem to be at a minimum. So it's like very strange. It feels kind of like empty in a way, because it's only story stuff right now. And I'm wondering if this is going to open up when I've reached level 10 or something. I'm at level 8, I think. I don't know like when that shit opens up. But it's really weird, because the last game I feel like just threw you into everything really quick, and this is just like, yeah, just keep doing story missions, that's all you can do, really, or Crucible, which is PvP, which sucks now, but I never really cared about that anyway, so.
Alright. You guys ready to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
You guys good at video games?
Man, yes. Although I'm not as good as you, Josh. I've played you in video games before, and you are exceptionally good at video games. It kind of makes me angry sometimes.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good gamer. I'm just a natural. You know, I've been doing it my whole life, since a lot of people were even born at this point.
Oh, honestly. Dude, you are older than me. That's what it is.
I was probably playing video games since before you were born, Kyle.
That's, well, yeah, that makes so much sense. I always had a complex that you were better at games than me, but now I realize it's because you're older, so I'm probably better than you when you scale up my skill one more year.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
The only game I'm good at is Splatoon. That's it. Every other game I'm average at, but Splatoon I'm like really good at. Like, I'm climbing up those ranks. I'm in the A's. which takes a long time to get to. I don't know why I'm good at Splatoon. Maybe because I've sunk like over 100 hours into it at this point. But
that's not related.
Yeah, that's actually true. I'm not very good at Overwatch, and I've like 200 something hours.
Katie, not to pile up on you here, but why is it okay for you to write about video games if you're not good at them? If you're not a true gamer, as I would say.
If anything, I'm the truest gamer because I play about like 50 times the amount of games the average person plays in a year. I don't have time to get fucking good at every single game I play. At least I could beat them. At least I critique them. I understand when a game's bad or good or whatever in between. Most games are just in between. But, yeah, you know, like, people don't...
You're talking about like Candy Crush?
Yeah.
Minecraft. Dude.
So you like video games? Yeah. Name five of their albums.
Anyway.
No, not that album. Everybody knows that album.
That's the one that had radio hits.
That was the one in Guitar Hero. Come on. Josh, why do you ask if we're good at video games?
Okay, so to introduce the audience here, there has been a bit of a debate online, which isn't really a debate, because it's just like some douche asshole penis face people who are like, "Ooh, there's this guy who demoed for VentureBeat. He demoed Cuphead and he couldn't get past the tutorial. Like, it took him like 2 minutes." And okay, I saw the video and it's pretty distressing. I'm not gonna lie.
I definitely felt a little bit like a backseat gamer in that, like watching it. I was like, "Oh shit. Please, just don't jump and dash.
Give me the controller.
Let me see real quick.
I could do it. Just let me do it real fast. I'll just do this one.
You'll get it. But the thing is, like, there's this whole narrative that these like gamer gator types have put together, which is like they're mad that someone gets paid to write about fucking video games, so anytime like they see this person write something, it's like they're comparing themselves, like they're putting themselves in that position, and if they think they would do it better, then they're like, okay, well, I can step in and be like, hey, this person's not a true gamer, why is he getting paid for this and I'm not? What a fucking useless thing, right? No, I mean, you know, just zero regard for the fact that Dean Takahashi is a fucking, you know, he's known for his like games beat reporting on the industry.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he was asked to play Cuphead at a fucking event, and probably, you know, maybe he's not the best video game player in the world. Like, there's a difference between talking about the business of an industry and criticizing it and like actually being good at the games themselves. Like, the two are not, you don't need to have both to excel at one. I mean, not to mention that not every game is going to be as hard as Cuphead, and you know, there's so many things going on here, and not everyone is that bad at video games. Like, I saw the clip, he wasn't great. We didn't want to step in and help him, but it's like, come on, give the dude a freaking break here. Like, I just think it's this complex that the readers have of like, yeah, this is unethical. Like, this person is getting paid for this? What? Like, it's like a self-righteous, like, they're offended by this shit. And, like, these, like, people who complain about this shit get so many followers because the audience of people who, like, get super jealous of people who write about video games but aren't like, great at them is, like, massive. Or, like, I think it's, like, the same thing of people who get mad at people for criticizing, like, not based on what, like, will help you one person purchase the game. Like, we're like, well, I don't care about, you know, the gender politics in this game. Like, how's the fucking fighting? And it's like, if one reviewer out of 800 reviewers does that and like lowers the Metacritic score by like half of a percent, they're like personally affronted because it's not how they would have done it. If they're, well, the reason why you're not hired at one of these places, you fucking asshole, is because you don't know how to write. You can't put your thoughts on a paper without sounding like a fucking bonobo. So shut your fucking mouth and sit down. God damn it, dude.
That's the thing that frustrates me with this whole, like, you have to be like, the best at games if you want to write about games. It's like, you don't fucking realize how many hours in a day I have. Like, I work, like, consistently, like, 10 to 12 hour days, because a lot of times, like, I have to play this game, and then I have to write about it, and I have to have a quick turnaround, and I have to cover news, and it's like, you have to do all this shit. It's like, it's, and I, like, and the pay is not amazing, so it's like, it's, like, it's a pretty, like, thankless job, to be honest.
Yeah, and there's always more. It's like, oh, yeah. Did you do this week? Well, there's now 20 new games next week that you have to cover.
Like, I was just filling out a holiday calendar, and I was like, there's just so many games coming out this year still. Like, I was thinking, like, Destiny 2, and that's gonna wind down, but it's like, no, like, next month is, like, Assassin's Creed, and Middle Earth, and Super Mario, and Wolfenstein, and Evil Within 2, and then this month's also, like, Danganronpa, which will be pretty long, and, like, a bunch of other games, and November is, like, Battlefront. It's just, like, there's so many games at all times now, and Cuphead's, like, I have played Cuphead at a demo event, and it's not fucking easy. It's a hard game, and, like, I understand why that dude probably struggled. Also, he's not, like, a critic. I think that's what a lot of people were mad about. It's, like, it's not like he reviewed this game. It's, like, it's hard, so therefore it's bad. Which I saw in, like, a lot of reviews for Rain World, which is, like, this game's too hard, so therefore it is a bad game. It's, like, there's ways to critique difficulty in a way that's, like, not, like, I'm just really bad. I can't wrap my head around this game or whatever. Like, you know, like, there's ways to approach that more thoughtfully. And I, like, with Rain World specifically, I didn't see a lot of critics doing that. And yeah, the thing that about this, like, dumb Twitter, like, hate mob or whatever against this, like, industry veteran who's been around for what, like, 2 decades or something. He's written, like, books about the games industry. Like, he's, like, been around. He's not, like, some fucking newbie, you know? Like, he knows his shit. Yeah, it's like, show some respect.
It shouldn't matter, though, I think, is the thing. It's like, yeah. It's like, if he's trying to, like, deliver, like, a pretty typical games review, it's like graphics, gameplay, sound, control, and that's, like, it. And I think that it's one thing to come from that angle, but if it's someone who's, like, looking kind of what Josh was talking about, like, interesting aspects of Cuphead, like, reviewing something solely based off the purpose of the animation, like, not being able to execute the, like, perfect jump does not mean that they're not capable of engaging with the game on that level.
Yes.
So I think it's one thing if, like, if a critic is billing themselves to say, like, I'm someone who's good at video games, which I don't think critics by and large do, and I can't think of any that pride themselves on this factor. It shouldn't be, like, a thing where people get mad at people for, like, not being good at a video game. Because oftentimes not being good at a video game doesn't actually filter down to, like, what the review is. I think Rain World is a good example of that, where people are a good example of the counterpoint, which is that sometimes games are really fucking hard and it does, like, impact the way someone can review the game. But there's a lot of other shit going on in Rain World that makes it a good, like, game.
This really intellectually dishonest thing that people do when they criticize reviews, which is that they act as if we don't live in the world in which we actually live. Like, if someone is reviewing a Rain World, for instance, okay, and this person talked about how they weren't able to, like, get very far in the game, they had to quit because it was, like, too hard, that you can look at that review and be like, well, maybe this person just isn't great at video games, and I would get more out of it because I would, like, put more time into it. I put more effort into it, and I would maybe have a more gratifying experience. I'm prepared for the frustration that I might face, and just look at another review. But no, people act like every single review has to be the definitive statement on a video game. And if one single review does not do the game in the way that they think it should be reviewed, and every single game review needs to be exactly uniform because there's an objective truth about every game's gameplay and graphics and sound and all that shit that has to be agreed upon by everyone, or else they're living in a dream world and getting paid for the wrong thing, then it's like they get up into this, like, self-righteous thing again, which is so stupid. It's like, the reviews ecosystem should be just that. It should be an ecosystem. We should have different people coming at a game from different perspectives, and you should be able to look at different reviews and be like, hey, this is something that I can agree with, or this is a different angle than I was expecting, or hey, this actually, what I find is that, like, video game reviews, if I'm coming back to a video game review after I've played a game, I'm not looking for like the review that's just like, the gameplay is good, the graphics are good, the story is cool. I'm looking for a review that like goes into more depth. And I think that kind of review and that kind of criticism has way more longevity for people who want to like come back and observe and appreciate the game at a deeper level. But there is no real demand for that, because I think what these people want is just like a review that's going to tell them how they should feel. That's going to like reaffirm how they feel like they should feel about a game, because most of the conversation about a game right now is limited to how should I feel about this? How do I want to feel about this? And is the reviewer playing into that to the extent that I want to, which a lot of times is actually really, really disconnected from the truth about a game, which we don't really find out until like 3 months after the game's over. And you're like, hey, hold up. Like that game got like all 9s out of 10s. It wasn't even like that great of a game, but the hype was so huge and the criticism was so, you know, it was so like euphoric that everyone just had to agree about this game. And there was like no dissent whatsoever. And then people like a couple months later, it's like, oh, we only had like 5 great games come out this year, even though it's like, this is the best year of all time for video games type shit. You know, like it feels like we're living in this hallucination where people just want to hear what they want to hear. And it's fucking annoying, man.
Yeah, I get a lot of flack, like pretty consistently, just in general, just because like I don't know, I've always been like more critical person. I love games, but I'm just like, I don't know, I guess I'm more likely to point out a game's faults while also singing its praises than the average reviewer. So it's frustrating when like people come to me like, all your things skew negative, so I'm not gonna listen to like anything you say. It's like, yeah, you don't have to like read my shit, but like I don't understand why it's like such a big deal. It's because like there's not many like real, I don't want to say real critics, but like, you know, there's not many writers in the games writing space that will like critically engage with games on a deeper level. Like I feel like there used to be, there's like a time when there were like a lot, but I feel like almost recently like they've kind of dwindled away because the industry like pushes them out. So it's like this really shitty like cycle of like there's always like that lone opinion. When honestly, I feel like whenever I have like a more negative skewing thing, I feel like I always find people that mirror it. Like I don't know, like with like Horizon, I always go back to Horizon because that was like the big fucking thing that started this all. But you know, like there's people I know in person that are like, yeah, game's not great. It's like, you know, like I don't get why it got so many great reviews. Like I've even seen like other critics like walking back on their like super praises of it. Like, yeah, it was fine, but I don't think about it anymore. You know, it's like, it's really weird, like, and with, like, Bioshock Infinite, I feel like is a prime example of that, where, like, I feel like that game got, like, super critical praise, and now everyone hates it, for good reason. It's not a good game, but, you know, like, at launch, that game was, like, everyone's like, this is the greatest game ever made, this is fucking true art right here. And then, like, Last of Us came out, like, a month later, and everyone's like, oh, this is actually true art right here.
All right, Katie, you're missing a couple things here, though.
Okay? Oh, okay, Josh.
Here's what you're missing. Number one, consumer-first angle, okay? if you frame this as the consumers would want to buy your game if you put more people of color into it, or if you, you know, came to it from that angle, you might get a little bit more respect. A couple more things you're missing. Trilby hat, okay? A penis and a neck beard would get you far. As far as being just accepted, rant
a little more. Also, take on a little British affect. I think you would like
if you're had just an you're, accent.
You're, I'm gonna start Patreon. The right
would wrong be, medium.
Patreon.
You would Patreon. Be one of the you would be one of the biggest figures on the internet if you had those things.
I'd be Jim Sterling 2.0.
Yeah, it'd be the cynical Katie.
Yes, that's me. The cynical Katie. Katie the critic.
I mean, I think to your point, Josh, it feels like it, like some of the, if those reviewers exist and like, or I guess Katie was talking about it and like get pushed out, I think it's because of this like crazy cycle of reviewing that games reviewing demands, where it's like, do you really have time to play a game, ruminate on it for like 2 weeks, think about it, go through a few revisions of your piece and like put it out? No, I don't know how long it takes Katie to like write a review or how long it takes you to write a review. But I get the sense that it's not like a ton of time to kind of like you like what like your first idea about a game is very likely probably the one you have to commit to a page because another game's sitting there looking at you waiting to be reviewed as well.
I mean, and the other thing is like critics don't work in a vacuum. Like you see the response that any sort of like, you know, dissenting criticism has had in the past 3 or 4 years or whatever. A lot of people would just rather like take the path of least resistance and do the thing where you say, it, you know, it's a great game with flaw, with some flaws, give it a fucking 7.8 and call it a day. Like that's the route that most people take, right? Where it's just like, you give it the same score that everyone else is good and don't mess with the score that much. Talk about how like the representation is kind of bad and the gender politics is a little bit skewed, but for all its flaws, it's still a pretty good game. And that's when you call it a day, as opposed to like, there's an extent to which you have to have some sort of bravery to give a game like a 3.5 out of 5 these days, which by all means is not a very bad score. It's just,
I feel like a 3.5 is like a recommendation on my book. So many people take it as like, oh, this game's fucking shit. It's like, did you read my review at all? Like,
right.
Or exactly. Like a 3, even a 3 out of 5, which so. I feel like still like a tepid, like this game has some flaws, but I would say, if you're interested in these parts, play it. Like, I don't know, like, people are weird about scores. I've always been, like, more honest about it because so much, that's why Games Metacritic is skewed so weirdly. It's like, because so many things just skew higher naturally. So if I give a game a 3 out of 5, it's like read as like a 60 or something, really like absurdly like low in this weird way. And I'm like, I feel like it's more like a 70, but whatever. I don't know, like, Metacritic's weird because in movie reviews are like more honest in a way. Like people review games way more, or movies way more honestly, because it's like an industry that's been around for like, you know, ever. Whereas with games, like the audience, I feel like, is so much more hostile. So people are just more hesitant to give negative reviews or be more critical, or like loudly critical at least, because they could get like a hate mob on their backs. Like that's just like the nature of things. So people just naturally skew higher. Like I've gone on like arguments on Twitter about this. Like no, like literally every establishment publication, like it's so rare to see a score under a 7. It's kind of depressing. Unless it's like a broken game, and then, but it's like, you know, like people don't really account for like other bad things in game outside of just like, oh, this game's buggy, you know, which I think is really, a really stupid, I guess credent, I don't know what that word would be, like measure for a quality of a game, because I like when I play a game, I'm like reflecting on the experience and how the game made me feel, and if I enjoyed it or if I didn't enjoy it or whatever. Like I have like all these like kind of like internal ticks and like my mental checkbox, I guess. But like so many other reviewers for establishment publications are just like, check, 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 good graphics, you know, diverse characters, blah, blah, blah. It's like, but even then, it's like that last one's not really a priority.
I'm really tired of the whole a great game with some flaws thing, which is like,
every superlative, but
single review of all time.
Or I think like, it's like, it's
hard. I really wanted to like this game. Why did you want to like this? You're an idiot.
It's because everybody told you you're supposed to like this game.
I'm friends with this developer, so I'm so sorry I had to give this a bad score. It's like, what? Like, why are you even reverting this in the first place?
Everything is prefaced with how I wanted to feel about a game. I wanted to hate this game. I wanted to love this game. Coming to this game, I didn't really feel like the first thing everyone ever talks about in a review is like how they felt about a game going in, because that's like such a fucking factor in every single review, because like the video game reviewer comes into it, it's like, well, was he predisposed to liking this game? Was he on the hype train? Was he not on the hype train? Because if not, that might color his just judge the goddamn game that you see in front of you. Like this is literally like the baseline of ethics in criticism should be, right? Like there should be no mention of what I wanted to feel going into a video game, because that is absolutely just destructive to any sort of criticism of a video. It is all like so warped. This industry, like the norm is so weird now.
that it actually really, if you look at it in the context of how criticism works in pretty much any other medium, it makes just zero sense whatsoever. So
I mean it's like, the problem is like, there's no, like, even like food criticism has like, yeah, it's just so frustrating for me as someone who's like always considered herself a critic. It's just, you know, like, there are good critics out there, and so many of them just don't even write anymore, or they, like, you know, it's just, you know, it feels very lonely sometimes. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's really stupid, the assumption that you have to be like amazing at games to, in order to play, write about them. It's like, you know, I feel like it would be really, unless this esports person is a really great writer, that's like their hobby or some shit. I feel like it'd be really boring to read like an esports person, someone who's really good at esports, also write about esports. Like, I feel like that would be very, it wouldn't have like the, like, writer's insight that a pure writer has, as someone that would like take in or like watch matches or read Reddit or like do all these other things, you know. And I feel like for like just standard video games, like non-competitive ones, it'd be like the same thing, where it, like, with Destiny, like, I wasn't a hardcore Destiny player, but I like talked to these players and like learned more about the community through them, and that in a way just kind of gave me an insider's insight, but also as like an outsider, because I'm like looking, I'm from the outside looking in, I'm trying to understand, what is it about this game that you love so much, and why are you bummed about the sequel? So it's a really fucking stupid assumption that someone that's like not amazing at games can't write about them, because it's like, that's not what goes into being a good games writer. What goes into being a good games writer is being a good writer and having critical insight, or a curiosity as a journalist, or, you know, like an ability to tell stories about people that aren't themselves. Like, it's like, yeah.
And so look, easy. if you have a criticism of criticism, that's something that happens all the time in criticism, where you're like, this person's critique of like the diversity in this game is ill-advised, or it's just misinformed, or is not great, or they're missing the point. You can say that. Like, that's totally fine, and that's something you can write an article yourself in response if you want to do that. People do that all the time. People still do that. But it's like, it reaches this point in video games where it's like, do you even like video games? Like, you seem to like just not enjoy what you're seeing here. It's like, well, you know, your job is to criticize a video game. Like, if I'm telling you, if I'm regurgitating the exact same message that you're hearing from every other critic out there, like, what actual service am I providing, or what actual work am I doing that isn't just like saying the same thing over and over? Like, people want an echo chamber, and like, if you're not a part of it, if you dissent from that echo chamber enough, they think that you're an imposter of some sort. Like, you shouldn't be here, that your passion isn't actually for video games, because you should be deluded into liking every single one, or that something is wrong with you, or that you're like a hipster. That's like the go-to fallback.
You're just a hipster.
I'm always called a hipster. It's really annoying. I think it's because I wear glasses and I dress nicer than the average person.
Oh yeah, total fucking hipster. Come on.
Thanks, Kyle.
It's just like the worst.
I mean, it's just, I feel like if these people would like just step back, think about anything for like more than 20 seconds, and
that's a big ask, just, Josh.
And just think, hey, like, you know, maybe this isn't the only critic out there. And, you know, this person has a different perspective on a video game than the, you know, 8,000 other websites out there. Maybe there's something to it that I can enjoy. Or if not, maybe I can just read someone else. And that's okay, too, because there's like 1,000 YouTubers who will tell you exactly what you want to hear, and they make money off of that. So,
yeah, I mean, they're paid by sponsors, by all the games you love. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another thing I wanted to bring up with this discussion is people are mad that like, oh, this one games journalist wasn't great at this one tutorial in this one stupid video game, and like, it made me think about like why we watch YouTubers and stuff. Like, I feel like when I watch streams and people on YouTube and whatnot, I watch them because they're entertaining, and usually because they have humor. Or, like, maybe they're, like, have a really interesting critical insight or something. Like, something that isn't just pure skill. So, it's, like, really weird that this was such a thing, because I mean, there are, like, if you want to watch something on pure skill, there's so much esports out there. There's so many pro players that stream, and they're, like, not very entertaining usually, because, like, they're focused on the game, and the game, like, watching them play is, like, almost magic in a way, because you're like, holy shit, like, this person's, like, really good. So it's like, there's two things to enjoy. So it's, like, a weird, super weird that someone would get mad about this, like, assuming the only videos that are worth watching are pure skill, because that's not even fucking true. I feel like majority is, like, not skilled play at all. It's someone talking over it and who's funny or has, like, something cool to say or is doing an interview with the developer or something. Like, there's, like, different reasons that people watch videos, like, that aren't just purely, like, I just want to watch this person be really fucking good at this game. So I don't think I have anything more to say that, but just it's really weird to me.
Yeah, believe it or not, like, personality is a factor. Gamers, people actually care about your personality in some cases. But I always ask myself, like, why do people like zero punctuation? You know, like, he was a dude who kind of, his whole shtick was that he just hated everything. And I think, again, it was just because he kind of took, like, a little bit more of a consumer angle. He had a British accent. He was a dude. He made these funny animations. But if you don't have that, like, attitude, or, and it's not, like, your personal brand, people will just want to... It's, for some reason, offensive. I don't know.
I think you just grow out of it, too. I mean, I think another part of it is, like, when you're, like, young, you want to see someone, like, hate on stuff because it feels rebellious and it's, like, fun. Like, I fucking watched tons of Zero Punctuation when I was younger, and I can't watch, like, 10 seconds of that show now without being, like, come on. Like, it's just, like, the same shit. And you're, like, how did I watch so much of this stupid show when I was, like, younger? And I think that a thing we're kind of running into is the fact that games are still, like, skewed, like, super young, and, like, the level of criticism that Josh, I think you're alluding to, skews, like, much older, where, like, it's, like, it is crazy bananas to think of, like, a music critic who's, like, 22, or, like, maybe there's one or two, but, like, a music critic or, like, a film critic that is successfully working at one of the biggest publications, and 85% of their workforce is, like, younger than 25. It's, like, people just age out of that shit. Like, games journalists just, like, aren't old enough. I think they just burn out because they have to constantly cater to this audience that just wants to be told, like, should my parents buy this game for me? Yes or no? And, like, that can be, like, super tiring if you find out that you don't have ears that are willing to listen to, like, actual interesting criticism, because it's, like, it's too nuanced and people don't want to hear it.
But these people have grown up, right? Like, you as a child, you came to video game reviews wanting to know, should my mommy and daddy buy me this video game, right? But, like, as you grow older, you kind of go to these reviews being like, I kind of want someone else to tell me, should I buy this game or not, right? But really, I think the truth of the matter is, you're really just looking to validate what you're already trying to do. So, like, I think there's an extent to which the video game criticism, the whole, like, industry and endeavor of video game criticism has just become, like, this validation machine for hype. And I think that a lot of developers actually, like, recognize this and realize that actually hyping the game and, like, putting, like, a gay character in it, or, like, any, like, a POC character in it, or what have you, like, whatever the critics are, like, talking about most recently that's gonna, like, help them get that score, that's going to, like, become the message. They'll create those stories around it, and then that's what it'll be judged on, as opposed to, like, the actual content of the game or what it does differently. And I think that's something that, like, that happened with, like, Horizon Zero Dawn, for instance, where it's just like, hey, we got a woman in the lead, and there's, like, it's all about, you know, the stuff that the game should be about these days. Regardless of whether it is successful at accomplishing those things, it's just like, I don't know, people kind of just do it because they wanted to get the fucking game anyway, so just buy it. And the reviews should just make you feel better about doing that, essentially, because you're an adult, you're gonna do with this money what you're gonna do anyway, like, just watch 20 minutes of gameplay on Twitch and you'll get the same thing. They want the review to validate what they're doing.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Like, I've never understood that because, like, I feel like there's so many critics I read or reviews I read, and there's so many times like, well, you know, they didn't like this part, but I probably would dig it, you know? Like, I feel like I'm more... It's so weird to me that people aren't able to just pick... Like, they have to have their opinions validated, and that's really weird to me. It's like, why can't you just like something or not like something? Like, why do you have to go and be like, well, this person said this. Like, with my Horizon review, like, so many people are just like, well, Jeff Gerstmann gave it a 5 out of 5. So, and it's just like, why does that matter? Like, he's a different person than me. Like, that's cool. I'm glad he enjoyed it. It's just really weird, you know? It's, like, it's so fucking weird. I you know, this space, this audience.
I mean, it's also weird, too, because I feel like I read a lot of, like film criticism stuff. And it's surprising to me that I find myself reading a lot of film criticism just to, like, read the criticism. Like, I really love, like, Richard Brody in The New Yorker. I think he's a fantastic writer. And I just, like reading his reviews. And I feel like there's not a similar level of, like, interest inside of, like, games journalism where I'm not just pulling up a reviewer's every piece to say, like, what does this person have to say about this game? Because I think that they, like... speak well about video games, and I'm interested to know their opinion, even if it's not towards the end of like, should I buy this thing or not? And I think that so many like reviewers are getting at that type of idea that it feels like a waste of time to read a review, because it's like, clearly the point of this review is not to like tell me about what's interesting about this game. It's to like convince somebody who has got their hand on their wallet, like about to probably buy this thing. So, I mean, it's like, it could be like a chicken and egg thing. It's like a weird situation to be in, but it's also like
how.
I
have a hypothetical question for you guys. Have you guys ever watched like a 15-minute video of a game being played, of like something and like someone talking over it, and still been unsure of like whether or not you actually want to get that game,
or
whether it's something you're interested in?
Definitely not. Right?
Like, I feel like really, if I'm being honest. Like, the should I buy a game or not is really just something that a video can accomplish in, like, 3 minutes. And I really think that there's a reason why people do come back to reviews. And I think that there should be something that reviews should be able to offer above that. But there's something weird that brings people back to these reviews. And I really think that there's a huge validation aspect that brings people back to wanting to read these reviews, that make them feel better about, like, I already bought this game, and they want to, like, lessen the buyer's remorse of spending $60 on it the day of. It's like, oh, let me know how that is, because, like, I wanted to see it, type thing. You know, it's just, it's so fucking weird, you guys. Like, and then there's, like, that whole thing of, like, oh, well, YouTubers are going to be taking your job. And dude, they've been making... Do you know how long they've been putting out video reviews of video games? You know how long they've been doing video... Like, game trailers was around when I was a kid. Like, this shit has been around for the longest time. Like, video reviews are not this new thing, dude. But, I mean, criticism is valuable still. And even in... if it's just to validate your own opinion about what the game that you already decided to buy, you should at least recognize that and not be an asshole to random people on the internet because they disagree and made you feel a little bit worse and they challenged your decision to buy.
Yes.
I was gonna say, Josh is sweating right now. You guys can't see it. She's just sweating.
Dude, I'm not... I feel very strongly about this whole thing.
Oh yeah, I feel like I'm a little sweaty too. Like, I'm just like getting a little heated up in here.
I hear it from so many. The thing is, I hear from people I respect sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, for people who, like, just like a coworker or something will say something like that. It's like, what? Where are you coming? Like, because I have friends who play video games and who are like my coworkers who are not writers, and they have like these sorts of criticisms about like, oh, they stopped writing about, like, the game, and they started writing about, like, so random politics and shit. I'm like, what? I'm like, how can you be this person? Like, I love you. Like, you're my friend. But how are you this person? Like, it's not all of these, like, Gamergate pricks. It's really not. It's just people who have no concept of, like...
Criticism
are like, there's other stuff out there, you know?
I feel like most other criticism takes into account. So, and like the best criticism takes into account other things. Like, oh my gosh, I can't think of her name right now. Like the, God, what's her name? The New York Times book critic who just left recently. can't think of her name right now, but she'd been there.
Oh my god.
Anyway, she had like a, she has a reputation, or she had a reputation because she just left, for being like super harsh. Like people would be afraid of sending their book to her, like because she was just like so brutal. But she would also like make authors' careers if she gave them a positive review. It was, she was like intense. But so her, her best reviews always took, were out of a larger context. They weren't just book reviews. They're about like the election or something. Like she was really magical at like taking something in like a review context, but just like blowing it out and like considering it on a way deeper level. And that's why people were afraid of her, because like she would like intellectually engage with like everything she got across her desk. And it's really sad that she's no longer writing for New York Times. I think she's, I think she might be writing a book now or something. I forgot what it was specifically, but you know, like I feel like we, I see this criticism everywhere else except for games, and I've seen people try it in games and have been really great at it. But it's like, you know, the audience is so fucking evil all the time, so it's like hard. And I feel like it's not even like the majority; it's like a vocal minority. So it's like I understand why people get so burnt out or get so like depressed, and like you know, it's not, it's not a fun environment to put your work into.
I feel like we need more curmudgeons, more people who are willing to like brand themselves on just on being like actual hardline critics who are only there to tell you like what they didn't really think was executed well in something, even if they liked it, who aren't afraid to like take a stand and brand themselves as that. And who people like, who people will read, oh, hey, this is a Katie McCarthy review. She has, she comes into a game thinking these things. It requires you as the reader to like know these things a little bit and to sort of like be with that. But it's more of an ecosystem. It's more of an environment where you can sort of like gauge, oh, here's how this person felt about this game. So it means more that, you know, this message is coming from this person or something like that. You know, like there should be just a whole ecosystem of stuff here. It shouldn't just be this like dead message that's just being regurgitated over and over.
That was kind of cathartic in a weird way.
Yeah, it was.
Because seeing, I feel like we've had, I've seen this conversation on Twitter about a million times at this point. As most, I feel like all Twitter discourse bullshit is just a repeat of a past thing. So it's, yeah, you know, like this, we saw this with like the Doom thing with Polygon's Doom video, which also was pretty bad, but to like, to be totally fair, but also yeah, it's just like they weren't reviewing the game. It's, why does it matter? But anyways, should we wrap up this podcast?
Yeah, let's do it. We are Bad End Podcast. This was episode 11. Thanks again for listening to us. If you're really pissed off, if you think Katie's a bad reviewer,
send me that hate mail.
You have some opinion that you really want to get off your chest, reach out to us at badendpod@gmail.com, and then on Twitter we are at badendpodcast. That's right. Rate us or review us on iTunes. It's very helpful.
Just do it right now. Just pause.
Just pause the show. Actually, just turn it off and then go, just go rate it.
Just do it. It's just right there. It's so easy.
So close.
So close, guys. All right. Thanks again. We'll see you in a few weeks. Ciao.